Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Well, the battle lines have been set. One thing is abundantly clear. It's going to be total war. And Trump is beginning the process of burning it all down. If he doesn't burn it all down, they win. Because the Democrats have made it abundantly clear this week. They're not stopping with the lawfare. No, no, no. This is just a pause. As soon as he's out of the Oval Office, as soon as it's done, the lawfare resumes. How do you know? Because of two things that they've done. We've already been over the first one in New York, where the local prosecutor and the judge, Juan Merchan, could have dismissed the charges against Trump. Instead, they did something unprecedented. They simply froze them until after his term. Froze them right before the 34-count felony sentencing. Now, look what Jack Smith, his other federal prosecutor, did yesterday. The Department of Justice dismissed the charges without prejudice. Why? CNN knows why. So they can bring him right back after his presidency ends.
These cases could be revived after Trump serves this next term, right?
That's right. I mean, look, if you look at the language that the special counsel used and that the judge uses in deciding this, without prejudice, means that when Donald Trump is no longer president of the United States, these cases could be revived.
Yep, CNN understands it perfectly, probably because their Democrat sources are telling them we're just pausing the lawfare. Don't worry. We intend to put Trump in prison and everyone around him, too. Laura Ingraham clearly gets it as well.
And if Democrats win in 2028, I mean, they're just going to resume the case that we're talking about tonight. And they'll probably try to go after Vance as well and anyone else connected to Trump. This is why the DOJ has to be cleaned out. The Democrats and their never Trump poodles have done enormous damage to these institutions. And they will do it all again. They do not care. There should be, however, consequences where appropriate, so that this never happens again.
Last time Trump was in office, he completely failed to take control of the FBI and the DOJ. They just continued to answer to Barack Obama. And the Democrats, can he even take control of these agencies? Is it possible for anyone to do it? We'll find out. How bad actually are things? I don't think the public even realizes. There's this kind of general perception, even on our side, well, Trump's in charge now, it'll be fine. No, it doesn't work that way. In fact, the UK Guardian writes, that although it appears Trump is ahead of the game, he's doing his appointments for his cabinet very early, he's actually falling behind because most candidates would have started receiving security briefings, as would their entire cabinet, on October 1st. But Trump doesn't trust for the FBI to do any of the background checks on his appointees, and he shouldn't. They'll likely just use it to launch criminal investigations or frame them. Just hours ago, the Trump team announced their workaround. They're not going to be able to get the clearances that they need to actually go into these agencies until after Trump is sworn in. Then he's going to have to sign an executive order waiving the background check until he can replace the staff at the FBI and get someone he trusts to actually do the background check. Folks, that's how bad things are. That's how out of control these agencies have spun. Taking back control from the Democrat Party are essentially what those tariffs that Trump announced yesterday are about too. 25% on Mexico and Canada. Why? To try to force them to get back to a place where they answer to the president of the United States, not the Democrat Party, not the globalists at the UN or the World Economic Forum, but the actual government of the United States run by Republicans. Let me explain, for instance, what that tariff threat, 25%, that's huge, on Mexico is actually about. The UK Daily Mail reported that in order to win the election, the Democrats knew they had to fake a secure border. Fake the secure border, clean up the border, but they didn't want to actually repel any illegal immigrant future voters. So they did something that the Mexican media came to refer to as Operation Carousel. Secretary of State Tony Blinken went down to Mexico, met with the leadership. He got the military to round up these illegals, keep them away from the border. They stored them in a city in southern Mexico called Tapachula. They put up roadblocks, surrounded the place with the military. It was a massive operation and eventually contained 150,000 at least illegal immigrants there. Todd Benzman, who's been there and done the reporting, said it could be as high as 500,000 because they didn't want them surging the border, but they did want to keep them so they could come to America and vote Democrat later. So what to do? Well, after the election was over, the plan was to let them come in ever increasing waves. In fact, that's why Joe Biden just launched a new version of the border app for 100,000 people that comes with, get this, no background checks. Monitoring bracelets? Just check the box and you don't have to wear one if you don't want to. Yep, all set up for the arrival of these new illegal immigrant future voters. And so what Trump needs to get Mexico to do is to repel them for us until he can take charge. In other words, he needs to get Mexico's attention. You don't answer to the Democrat Party anymore. They're out of power. I need you to repel the 150 to 500,000 illegal immigrant voters so we don't have a stampede over the border. That's why the tariff he's threatening is so big, 25%. And he's saying, if you don't round them up and keep them out of here on day one, I hit you with a 25% tariff. Okay, that explains Mexico, but some of the media this morning were scratching their heads over why Trump would tariff Canada at a 25% rate too. That's because Canada has become the source of an influx of terrorists over the border. And no, it's not an accident. They're working with the same UN NGOs that Congress secretly funds with money stuffed all through the budget. It works like this. Canada deliberately lets people come in from 97 countries, many of which we don't admit, and then they just let them come right over the border. It's an international, highly coordinated migration. Trump needs to send the signal, no, you answer to me now, not the UN, not the Democrat Party. And folks, I don't think a lot of Americans realize how bad it is. They may know that terror watch list suspects have been caught at the border. Most people probably assume it's the southern border. But listen to this. This is just through fiscal year 2024, beginning of the year till now, 422 people on either the international terror watch list or the FBI's terror watch list have been caught at our borders. You'd probably assume most of them were at the southern border. You'd be wrong. 155 of the terrorists, yes, were caught at the southern border, but a staggering 358 of them were actually caught at the Canadian border. Few people fully understand or appreciate the size of the terrorist pipeline that Canada has created between everywhere but here and the United States. Headline, this is from thecentersquare.com. 736 known terrorists apprehended at the U.S. border in fiscal year 2023. That's not through fiscal year 2023. No, no, no. Just in fiscal year 2023. That's 12 months. 736 known or suspected terrorists. What does that mean? They're, again, either on the international watch list or the FBI's watch list, right? 66% of those 736 were apprehended at the northern border. In other words, they're just moving through Canada. For what purpose? Dear God, I don't know. In response to Trump's 25% tariff threat, Canada played stupid. What? To us? We love border security. Whatever are you talking about? Here's Carly Shimkus describing exactly what Trump's talking about on Fox News.
Yeah, and Canada's deputy prime minister already responded, saying Canada places are the highest priority on border security. But then the chief border patrol agent in the Swanton sector, which is the Vermont, which covers the Vermont-Canada border, responded saying, or at least posted this on X, saying there have been more than 19,222 subjects from 97 different countries since October 2023, which is more than 17 fiscal years combined. So by giving these countries at least 2 months in advance, maybe they can get their act together and these tariffs don't have to be put in place. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, we'll have to.
Yep, you heard that right. 19,000 people passing through Canada in that one sector alone. And that's just in a single year from 97 different countries, many of them terror watch list countries. For now, the Mexican government is siding with the Democrat Party, much like the FBI and DOJ do. Just continue to answer to the Democrat Party, even though they're out of power. Continue to answer to the UN, saying, hey, we'll just tariff America back. All right, if you guys are that committed to illegal immigration, but I doubt it will last for Canada or for Mexico. I'll let Cheryl Cassoni with Fox Business explain why.
As far as Canada goes, Canada is the fourth largest oil producer in the world, believe it or not. And 80% of all of their exports between Canada and Mexico come to the United States. So to say that Canada and Mexico are a little worried right now would be an understatement of the morning. Markets are definitely reacting to this as well. The peso's getting hit today. There's a lot of concerns on the financial side for this. Auto companies, the Japanese auto companies, watch, you know, so a lot of market reaction to this. But in general, here's the big question. Is this a threat? Will he go through with it? In his first term, he did make this threat. Yeah. If you recall, that was 2019.
He did. And he never went through with it because Mexico closed their southern border and began using the military to do what Trump wanted, which is block the international border drive. So right now, at least for the moment, Canada and Mexico are being obstinate. But I can also guarantee you the CEOs that depend on manufacturing in both places are already calling the leadership, trying to talk sense into them. Here's the thing with Mexico, though. It's not just corporate leaders that have a say. The smuggling of illegal immigrant children and future Democrat voters has become a massive line of business for the cartels. They're not going to want to give it up, and they tend to kill people who get in their way. And folks, I don't think America's really fully understand this. I've talked about it a lot on the Battleground America podcast. When you leave an open border with Mexico, the cartels move in. And the way that they operate is you either get on their payroll as a politician or they kill you. This last year, during the political cycle, over 30 candidates were assassinated. There were more than 100 assassination attempts total, many with just injuries. They fully expect and plan to do exactly that here. You'll see them merging with the Democrat Party. It'll happen before you know it. In fact, I'd argue it's already going on in places like Aurora, where you have, you know, Tren de Aragua taking over whole apartment complexes and everybody from the police chief to the attorney general to the Democrat governor lying about the fact that it's happening when they know damn well it's happening and have already been briefed by the Department of Homeland Security. Well, what happens, folks, the next time one of those handy Democrats that helped cover up what Tren de Aragua was doing. And by the way, we've documented on the podcast what they were doing, too. Remember, UK Daily Mail covered it. They were selling girls, not women, girls, as in underage girls out of those apartment complexes. That's a very profitable line of business. They're not going to want to give that up. So the next time there's an election, what do you think happens? There was a Republican on the council there, on the city council in Aurora, who blew the whistle on this. Does she survive? What about Republicans who run against the Democrats who protected Trendyaragua? What happens to them? They get killed, like in Mexico? Or do they get the other option you get in Mexico as a politician? Just get on the cartel payroll. Keep your mouth shut. See, this time it might actually take more than the threat of a 25% tariff to shut down the massive human trafficking operation into the United States of America. Here's...
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why? In an interview, Attorney General of Texas Ken Paxton talked about a sort of merger between the Democrat Party, its leaders, this country, and the cartels, such that, as he described, the cartels would actually call up the Border Patrol to tell them where they're dropping off the illegal immigrants. The illegal immigrants then get processed by the Border Patrol, who are acting as coyotes, and they move through. Paxton said he doesn't fully understand all of it, but it appears that the cartels and the Democrats have fused in a way and are building a network for the future. They're not going to want to let go of that.
He is cooperating, not just cooperating, but he's literally in partnership with these cartels. In the old days, they used to come and try to hide and run away from Border Patrol. Joe Biden has cut a deal somehow where these cartels transport people directly to the Border Patrol, and then they move them around the country. So we're in a terrible situation. Nothing like this country has ever seen before, and I fear the consequences of Joe Biden's decisions for the next years.
Paxton says the cartels and the Democrat leadership are literally building a network to survive when the Democrats leave office.
They're taking federal law and dismantling it. And he's making up his own rules as we go that allow the cartels to gain a foothold, a strong, really strong foothold in the United States, not just in my state, but really across the, they're building a network across the country so that they can keep doing this well after Biden's gone.
Exactly how strong is the Democrat leadership's, the Democrat-controlled government's, U.S. government's relationship with the cartels? So strong, it appears they're providing him with U.S. military-grade weapons with which to fight and ultimately defy the Mexican military. And Mexico is not happy about it. Here's how we know this. If you go back to January of 2024, the Mexican government, furious, demanded an investigation into how the drug cartels were getting U.S. military-grade weapons made by U.S. manufacturers that by law can only sell inside the U.S. to the U.S. military. They can't export. And yet, highly specialized belt-fed machine guns, rocket launchers, grenades, grenade launchers not sold for civilian use and only manufactured in the U.S. for U.S. military use were somehow ending up in the hands of the cartels, and they were using them to overwhelm the Mexican military and to gain even more power inside Mexico. You know what this is, folks? This happens during the Biden administration. They're building a proxy army out of the cartels down in Mexico. The same way they built a proxy army in Afghanistan to fight the Soviets, the same way they built ISIS into a proxy army to fight Bashar al-Assad and Vladimir Putin in Syria. They're doing it down in Mexico. That's a terrifying prospect. This is from U.S. News and World Report. Quote, the Mexican Defense Department has warned the United States about weapons entering Mexico that are for the exclusive use of the U.S. Army. The military-grade U.S. weaponry, including 221 fully automatic machine guns, 56 grenade launchers, a dozen rocket launchers, and more, that they've caught, just that's just what they've taken in since 2018. It's not fully what the cartels have. The military-grade U.S. weaponry, which cartels have bragged about and openly displayed on social media, poses a special challenge for Mexico's army, which is now outgunned and outarmed by the cartels, which, along with police and National Guard, already face cartels operating homemade armored vehicles and bomb-dropping drones. Come on, folks. Where do you think they got that? The Democrats gave it to them. Of course they did. This is why Trump has announced that he wants to declare these cartels and their leaders terrorists. Same designation ISIS has. What does that mean? He'll be droning them and dropping bombs on them. This is what it's going to take to regain control and to make sure America never sees a day where the cartels operate as a violent, repressive wing of the Democrat Party. Folks, by the way, that's exactly how they operate in Venezuela. Estimates are in the last election that the current president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, got about 20 to 30% of the actual vote, yet he's the president. Well, when he cheated and intimidated his way to the win, people began to pour into the street to protest. And what happened? Armed banditos, not officially with any government agency, just opened fire on them, started killing them, and the protest quickly died down. That's that militarized criminal element wing I'm talking about. The Democrats would love to have that. And they eventually will if we don't put this down. So look at what Trump is doing here. You'll see the outlines of domestic war. You'll see it in a way you never saw it before. What has Trump said over the weekend? He confirmed he intends to use the military to deport, right? To root out these criminals. Who are the number one priority? Illegal immigrant criminals, those charged with crimes inside the U.S. who have deportation orders. Who are they going after first? Homan said they're going after cartels and hard time gangsters. Now, look at what the Democrats are doing. On the surface, it looks a little bit bizarre. I've had a lot of listeners kind of scratching their heads like, why are these Democrat mayors, including the mayor of Denver, going to the mat like this when they know damn well Homan's priorities for, you know, deportation, again, are criminals because they want to protect these cartel networks. They are deliberately protecting these cartel networks that they believe will eventually be a source of income for the party, a huge one, but more importantly, an enforcement arm, much like Maduro has. Because remember what they did in Venezuela. I'll never forget it. They banned guns, ostensibly to keep people safe from crime. And within less than 5 years, those guns were redistributed to criminals, literal criminals that were loyal to the socialist regime. So they could shoot their neighbors or anybody who got in the way of what that regime wanted to do. But there's total deniability because they don't have police or military uniforms on. By the way, I'm putting the source articles for this at the end of the podcast description if you want to read about Mexico demanding the investigation into U.S. military-grade weapons being supplied to the drug cartels. This is not the first time that on the Democrat Party's watch, these cartels have been armed. Remember under Obama's watch, we had the gun running by the DEA that went down into Mexico to the cartels, ostensibly because we needed to track where the weapons went, except we didn't track where the weapons went, and they ended up being used to kill a Border Patrol agent. Yeah. That's because as long ago as Obama's administration, we were gun running and weapon running down to Mexico to strengthen the cartels and form a partnership. So in the coming weeks and months, when you see Democrat mayors in handcuffs to protect Tren de Aragua and cartel members, you'll understand why. This is about pure raw power. Finally, in addition to the gun running, which is in an article I'll put at the end of the podcast, you need to read this. Headline, Fox News, America's Third War. The U.S. cut a deal with the Sinaloa cartel, comma, said for court documents. It's from November of 2014. Quote, U.S. federal agents allegedly cut a deal with the Sinaloa cartel that allowed it to traffic tons of narcotics across the border in exchange, supposedly, for information about rival cartels. According to a motion in federal court, listen to this. The deal was part of a divide and conquer strategy where the U.S. helped, listen to this, finance and arm the Sinaloa cartel through Operation Fast and Furious. Now, allegedly, the purpose of this is so that the DEA and FBI could get information and go after the other cartels. Here, folks, that never made any sense. Think about it. If you're Sinaloa and you want to eliminate your enemies, I'd just turn them over. I wouldn't need guns and permission to run drugs into America. You turn them over because you want them gone. Something else is going on here. And I think we're seeing it with the military grade equipment starting to show up in Mexico better than what the Mexican government has. Folks, breaking this is literally going to require assassinations. It's going to be a war. And Trump seems to know it, to understand how far down the road the Democrats are in merging with the cartels. Folks, we got 4 years to break the back of all of this. But one thing is clear. Trump is going to total war. You can see that with what he's proposed over the last week. He's going to need to, because otherwise, him and, as Laura Ingraham said, J.D. Vance and probably everybody else is going to prison, and America's going to face a future that was unimaginable a generation ago. For their part, the Democrat media, or what's left of the Democrat media, is already beginning to fight back. Yeah, Georgetown just published this paper that they're all quoting. Headline, "The Dangerous Narrative of the War on Cartels." Look for this. Yeah, we shouldn't go after cartel leaders, they argue. It's not fair. Because as soon as you kill the leaders, other people start killing each other inside the cartel to take over. And that results in a lot of death. We don't want that. Plus, they say we need to just go after the pharmaceutical companies and just, you know, leave the cartels alone. They're not really as bad as we think. Folks, watch this. You are going to hear the Democrats actually make the case that we should leave the cartels alone. They're going to go wild when Trump goes after them, especially when he goes after them down in Mexico. And having heard this podcast, you'll understand why.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.